The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, do you know about NarthexCon 2020? Well, it's being held June 11th, 2022 here in St. Louis in Benton Park Cafe. Registration is open. There's about 40 spots left. NLCast.com/Narthex.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons like Chris Cowan, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus story stickers and more. Join today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
Hey, this is John from some podcast you've probably never heard of, and you're listening to James and John on That Story Show, the podcast that's perfect for listening to in the shower.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
Who watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, I hope you're not in the shower. This is That Story Show, where we bring you incredible real life stories and we put them right into the spotlight. This is episode 406, brought to you the week of March 10th, 2022. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Well, hello, I'm John. And James, I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Good. It helps. So you know. It helps to be a little superstitious.
Yeah. Not super, just a little stitious.
This is minorly stitious.
Just a little stitious, yeah.
It's like vim and vigor. You know, I saw that on an ad from the 50s, you know, that fills you with vim and vigor. And I'm like, okay, I know what vigor is, but what the heck is vim?
It's the drink on Fallout 4 that is the competitor to Nuka-Cola.
Is it?
If I remember correctly. Isn't that called Vim?
I don't know. But I haven't played it as recently as you have, so I'm not sure.
I might be wrong.
So how's the weather where you're at in Georgia?
Well, the last couple of days it had been raining. And today it turned out to be a pretty beautiful day, but the cold weather did come back. So
I
still like it.
Here in the Midwest, it has not decided yet if it's spring or winter or summer, because it's been to where it's been hot inside the car, and then on another day, it's snowing.
Oh,
and
that's interesting.
My tires have this sensor in them that tells me if they're not blown up enough. And when it gets cold, it starts warning me your tires are uninflated.
Right.
And then when it warms up, they're fine. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm driving a Batmobile that's telling me all the secrets of the car. So
my car's got some secrets, and that is that it failed the emissions test
because of
a misfire in the cylinder 6.
Oh no.
Yeah. I got to get that fixed before next week because, you know, I can't get my license plate renewed if I don't.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's not good. I didn't even know they did all that in Georgia.
Yeah. we're lucky enough to live right outside of Atlanta. So, you know, we want to keep our air clean.
Okay. Because, yeah. You know, in Florida, you can pretty much drive whatever you want. You don't even need doors. You know, you don't even need a catalytic converter or a muffler or anything. Just as long as it rolls down the road, they're happy.
So. Or seat belts. No, wait, you do have to have seat belts.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to have that. They recently added that. So anyway, welcome to That Story Show, everybody. And welcome back, John. It's quite great to have you. We got a story we always like to start with, a story. And this one's from Trevor from Missouri. It's called Backside Baptism. A couple weeks back, it was the first time I'd baptized someone. Have you ever baptized anyone, John?
I have, yeah. Actually, yeah. I've baptized many people. And I learned how to do it while I was in college. We actually had a special class.
No way! I missed that one somehow. But I loved baptizing people back in my day when I was a pastor. I loved it. It was my favorite thing. Like, I hated funerals, hated weddings.
True. Yeah. Hated, I understand that.
Hated a lot of the things, hated hospital visits. It was just, and I say
everything that a pastor does.
Yeah, exactly. I say hate, but it's just awkward, you know?
Yeah.
Cause you're expected to go in the hospital and heal the people, you know?
Right.
that's what people expect from you. And you're going in and you didn't even bring flowers, you know, much less healing power. So
we just want you to know we care.
But when you baptize someone, you can't do it wrong, because your expectation is dunk me in the water and get me wet. And I've been doing that since I was like 7 years old with my sisters, you know,
in the pool.
Exactly.
That's right.
So it was great. So anyway, it just took me back. A couple weeks back, it's the first time I'd baptized someone. So the senior pastor showed me how to fill the baptismal, how to stop up the drain, how to turn on the pump and the water heater, and how high to fill it. And I will say, when he talks about the water heater, the worst thing in the world, I know it's first world problems, but if they don't turn on that water heater, boy.
It's
ice. It's ice cold. It's bracing. You really get to know who's really saved and who's just faking it when the water is ice cold.
Anyway. Yeah, I think I changed my mind on this. I'm getting out.
Yeah. I'd rather burn in Hades than go in that ice water right now. So anyway, come Sunday morning, I'm nervous and excited, and I got my cheat sheet with the verses and questions on it. See, they made it complicated. In our church, we just let them testify and we dunked them, you know?
Oh,
cool. So I get to test the water and it's freezing. I even did a magic trick during one of them one time. So,
anyway. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So what was it?
It was
disappearing trick?
No, it was a can of soda that was empty. And I made the tab, the open tab, you know, seal back up. And then I made the can inflate because it was crushed and open. And then I popped the cap and poured out soda in a glass from an empty can.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. That's a cool trick.
And I was talking about how God restores us and makes us brand new when we accept Christ. And yeah, I think people thought I was magical. So
he's doing the witchcraft right before baptism. Yeah. We gotta chase that feller out of there.
So anyway, he says, I get in the water and it's freezing. Apparently, we both forgot to light the pilot light for the water heater. So I try to fix this an hour before the service. Good luck. That ain't happening. You ain't changing the water.
That's a lot of water.
I went back and forth to the janitor's sink with one of those huge igloo containers, and I tried to fill the baptistry with as much hot water as I could. But the tub was so big that it hardly did anything. So it was a very cold baptism. It's nothing worse than baptizing children or old people in cold water.
Yeah, because they will say words, too. Some people just fake it and like, oh, this water is fine. It's okay. I'm getting baptized. But kids are like, oh, it's cold.
Their little lips are shivering and everything. It's terrible. You feel bad. You're like, I don't want to sanctify you that much. So anyway, when it comes this past Sunday, I figured if I forgot the pilot this time, I'd fire myself. So I got it lit. I filled it up on Friday. I let the pump and the water heater do their thing. I come in Sunday morning and the baptistry is bone dry. this time.
Oh, no.
So we're thinking the drain valve has a leak or something. I don't know. I don't know where the water was. We looked around for it, but it was gone. Again, an hour before service, we turn on the water line. We stuff a rag into the drain pipe, and we let it fill with ice cold water. And I wish I could say it was the end of all the mess on Sunday, but apparently the baptism sparked a bunch of conversations with the church people. Not for the reasons you'd think. Like, you'd want them to be talking about the fact that three people publicly committed to believing and following Jesus. You would expect that to spark conversation, but no. Apparently the highlight of the whole baptism was the fact that was when I bent over to dunk these people in the water, I did it facing my back to the crowd, and I exposed my butt crack.
Oh no!
Three times.
Three times.
To the entire congregation.
Oh man.
Let's just say this coming Sunday, I intend to face the other way when I'm baptizing.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it pressed up against the little pane of glass, you know, that's always there. That shows you.
I do believe that feller's pants are falling down.
I'm going to do it different so the main thing can be what it's supposed to be instead of my back quarters. Yeah. Hope this gives you a laugh and sparks some other church blunder stories. Longtime listener of the show, Trevor from Missouri. God bless you, Trevor.
Yes, and thank you for sharing that. It really exposes a lot about your character.
Yeah, and speaking of butts,
that was awesome.
When you're baptizing people, I don't know, but I came from a church of 5,000 people, and when we baptized, it was 13 people plus at a time. We did it once a month in the wedding chapel. We had a baptistry there. It wasn't a main church thing. It was just, and it was cool because at a big church, it was cool because it was a smaller group of people and it was family and friends. And it's more personal. But you put 13 people in and out of a tub of water and that water gets janky.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hair products and perfumes and deodorants and, you know,
floaties. You don't want to be the 13th person baptized.
You don't want to be the guy stuck in there the entire time either with all this stuff floating up to you because it's so gross. Yeah, it's not good.
We did outdoor baptism and we use a big trough anyway. For what we baptize people. This is a big metal trough. Because
it's Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah, and so the pastor doesn't have to get in the water. We just, you know, get on the other side of it.
Look at y'all.
Which is very nice and convenient. Yes, thank you. But the outdoor, we had like five or six people, and my son was the last one. Johnny was the last one to get baptized in it, and there were things floating in it. I felt so bad for him.
Nasty, dude.
Maybe I need to baptize him again.
Yeah. I've told this before, but it bears repeating. We had a pastor that loved to wear a full suit when he was baptizing. He was old school. And so he was a giant man too. So he had bought these waders at Burrell's or whatever, you know, the place is that has the fish tanks, all the sales and stuff.
Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah. One of those places.
One of them kind of places.
Yeah. And so he would go down the stairs, you know, in his waders, and he would dunk people and he'd come back out. Most of the time that was fine. He'd take off his waders. He could greet people fully suited. He wouldn't have to change clothes, you know, nothing. But one time a lady slipped and he had to bend down to help her get back up to save her newly blessed life. And the water poured in to the chest cavity of the open waders. And in case you don't know, they're basically pants with suspenders, you know, that are rubber. And and once the water got in there, it was like 500 pounds of water. And he goes to try to climb back out, and he's taking half the water with him. And he just lays down on the stairs, and he unhooks the suspenders and kind of fit like a mermaid shedding her skin. He just wiggles out of them, and he's just wet, you know, from his chest all the way down. Fully suited.
The rest of the sermon, huh?
The whole thing. It just didn't work out for him that way that one time. And he was a little bit of a proud man. He did not like You know, like there's some people like me and John where if some stupid stuff happens to us, we can laugh it off. This guy,
you have to roll with it.
He couldn't do it. He had to hide. He had to go hide for the rest of the service. So.
Anyway, church is canceled for the rest of the day. We'll start back up next week.
Yeah. Okay. Please send your notes and cards of love to your pastor, Wesley at gmail.com. So, yeah, it was pretty funny. It's pretty funny. All right. Let's rewind the week. All right. So mine's not very funny, but it is. It's
sure it isn't. It's they always wind up being that way when you say that.
It's more of a testimony. You know how in church, sometimes in smaller churches, they say, does anybody have a testimony? And yeah. I'd forgotten all about this because, like I said, I came from a big church. But I remembered when I was writing this down, I was like, no, this is it's like a testify thing. So I put hashtag testify next to my title so that I would remember to testify. I was in
Does that mean you need to play the church music?
No, because it's not fancy and it's not hype enough. Like this is this is be testify like dancing in the aisles kind of testify.
Yeah, you need like the drums with the offbeat and
the
organ.
People singing glory. Glory woke me up this morning. He started me on my way.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, it's no big deal. Like I said, it's not funny, but it's a big deal to me because I was in the shower and the doors closed, you know, and I'm alone. And I just wanted to say,
it's usually how it is, right?
That for the first time in our marriage, my wife knocked on the door before she came in and said, James. And for the first time in our marriage, I didn't have a year scared off of my life.
Because she knocked first.
She has a really bad habit of having an inner dialogue that includes me.
Oh.
And then she will start in the middle of it out loud. And when we're at the dinner table, that's fine because half the time I can catch up. But if I'm in the shower and I'm all alone and I feel like I'm safe, because you know, when you were a kid in the shower, I didn't even like closing my eyes to wash my hair.
Right.
Because I was afraid the monster was going to get in behind me.
Right on the other side of the shower curtain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm finally over that. But that's because I feel like my safe zone has expanded to include where the toilet is and the sinks and the towels and everything with the door closed. But my wife has this bad habit of just open the door and say, James. And I'm just, you know.
Why, what?
And this is a secret I don't want nobody to know. But I am very easily startled. I'm not like a horror movie. I could watch a scary movie and not be scared at all, not have a bad dream, nothing. But if it has jump scares in it, like Five Nights at Freddy's, dude, I cannot handle that crap. I can't do it.
It's that suspension, that tension that gets you, right?
And the only reason why I'm telling all of you this is because I will never meet most of you. And so I am safe. I'm not famous enough for this to come back and bite me. Maybe one day I will be and I will regret this. But for right now, until NarthexCon, I am safe. So
until NarthexCon. Yeah,
when I have to meet some of you scary people. You might try to test me out and just come out from around the corner. But anyway, I just testify unto the Lord Jesus. I will live a year longer than normal. But last night I was in the shower and she comes in and she's like, hey, James, I was like, sweetie, you should have knocked. You just scared another year off my life.
It
just shakes me to the core. It does. So anyway, I don't know. I don't know how much longer I've got to live. I am, I'm 48 years old.
48.
I'm 299 pounds. As of my last weigh in, I'm walking 20 minutes a day. Nice. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I feel like I'm moderately healthy. Like I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have diabetes or anything. You know, I'm trying to lose some weight. I feel like I got some time to spend on this planet. But every time that woman walks in and yells my name, I really feel like my heart ages. Like it just does a little clink inside my chest and a little ticker, like on an old fashioned digital clock goes click. And it takes a year off my life. So I'm here to testify that I am going to live a longer life than I was.
Because I said, baby, for the first time in our marriage, you did that properly. You knocked on the door. It was completely unscary. Thank you so much. And she ruined it by the next day. She'd forgotten. So
what if you lock the door so that she has to knock?
Well, you know, I feel like I don't want to keep her out. If she needs to get in and get something, she's going to make me step out of the shower and drip all the way to the door and open it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's not
convenient for anybody.
So, you know.
That's more of a health risk because the floor will be wet and you could slip.
Right. Yeah.
So, gotcha.
Yeah. It's just it's a thing that, you know, we do out of kindness. You know, we have married people stuff. So, anyway, I'm just testifying. Thanks to the Lord.
Yes.
You know, I had one time and you know, that was numb. And I'm just so grateful to the Lord right now. I don't know what to say. It's more than I deserve. Hallelujah. So
speak it out another year of life.
It's just so funny because I've been trained on hundreds of things, you know, like I used to drink and I would go after I drank. I got taught by my wife not to do that crap because it was annoying. you know, I had this habit of scraping my fork when I would cut my spaghetti and it would squeak, you know, on the plate, like seashells rubbing together or something.
Yeah,
and I got taught not to do that because it gave her chills. But I haven't been able to teach this woman one thing the entire time. And I kind of liken it to our dogs because we have one dog I don't like and one dog I hate. And the one dog I hate is really smart. And I think she's too smart to be trained. Like she's like, yeah, I know what you want me to do, but I don't give a crap. I'm still going to do what I want to do. And I think
I'm a proud dog.
I think my wife's kind of like that. Like,
I won't tell.
She's very smart. No, I'd tell her this to her face. She's too smart. She's too bright. She's too close to perfect. It's like perfecting a sculpture, a classical Greek sculpture. Where do you put the chisel and knock off? Mm. You know, where do you go to perfect what is nearly perfect? You don't know. It's obvious for me. I'm a boulder still. You know, you just anywhere you hit and knock something off, it's going to be something that didn't belong there. I'm still a work in progress big time. But for her, I can understand it, you know. So anyway, testify. Hashtag testify.
There you go. Amen.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a shock-free shower is what that one's
shock-free.
Called.
Well, what if that's actually making your heart stronger?
I don't know, man. Maybe. You don't know how it feels. It feels like the devil tickled me from the inside. Like reached up like I was a ventriloquist dummy and tickled my heart. It's just not good. I won't tell you how he's accessing my heart, but it feels like that.
I think I can imagine.
Okay. Yeah. It's not a hole in my back, just like a ventriloquist dummy. It's
like a ventriloquist. Okay. Yeah. More like a puppet.
Yeah. It's more like a puppet. Yeah. It's more like Kermit. Anyway, what's going on in your world? Because I stretched that out about 15 minutes longer than it needed to be.
I have three that I could pick from, but I'm only going to do one.
Okay.
Because I like to keep them in the back pocket just in case. And since we're on a church kick, we started off with baptism and now you're testifying. I'm going to talk about communion.
All right.
Yeah. So let's keep this rolling. So for those who do not know, communion is one of the sacraments of the Christian church that we partake in the body and the blood of Christ. And depending on your theology and your denomination, that is the actual body and blood of Christ, or it's just grape juice and a cracker.
Yeah, simple.
It's simple. And the whole point of it is to identify with Jesus in his suffering.
Yes.
Because he partook of this meal, this last meal we call Last Supper, and you know, with his disciples and he taught them and he said, hey, this is it. I want you to do this in remembrance of me.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what communion is in a nutshell. So it's kind of important to know that when I proceed with this story, because some people, the elements, the grape juice and the bread, that's like a
loose term
thing.
By the way, a very loose term. We don't actually know what that crap's made out of.
Well, I do know what grape juice is made out of, But the bread is sometimes questionable.
Yeah, it's sometimes styrofoam that melts in your mouth. So.
Yeah, some kind of rice something or other. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. That is here nor there. But it is important because the it takes place in the story here, which I am proceeding to tell. So I have volunteers in the ministry that I lead here at the church is media. And so I have volunteers ranging in age from middle school all the way up until, you know, adults. And every now and then I'll have some middle schoolers helping me that are just kind of, you know, learning the ropes about media and learning how to use cameras and stuff like that. And so I had this young guy helping me with our ProPresenter. ProPresenter is a thing that you put words up on the big screen with. And it was Communion Sunday. And I like for everybody that serves in church to be able to take communion. So I think it's important. We all should, you know, have this moment together. And so I was bringing him back some. We have those communion ration cups. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The ones that are prepackaged.
Yeah, it's like a little tiny cup, smaller than a shot glass, with grape juice in it. And then there's this foil that covers the top. And then there's the bread, so to speak. And it's got another covering over it. And it's like an MRE for communion.
Yeah, anyway, whoever invented those is making a buttload of money. So
yeah, brilliant, of course. Unless they sit in your church for
too long
of years.
Yeah, and they give a kid turn into
bad. You need to go back and listen to that story that was way back in the hundreds there somewhere. Or actually, it was before that. Anyways, so I'm bringing the communion back for this guy to share with. And I get into the media room and he's snacking on something. And I look down, he's got like five or six of these communion cups.
God.
And he's just downing them. I said, "Hey, what are you doing?" He's like, "I was hungry." I said, "That's not a snack.
That's the body of Christ."
And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And so I was like, "Well, here's one I brought for you. I don't know if you're going to need it or not." So I remember, though, when I was a kid, I like during church and before church, we wouldn't touch the stuff because, you know, it's sacred. But afterwards, we would all go up there and eat up all the crackers
and leftovers.
It's not as sacred anymore. Yeah. So, yeah,
that's
just
like,
remember, communion is not a snack. It's
yeah. Yeah, it's like he was hungry, so let's eat Jesus. Let's drink Jesus's blood. Let's just do that.
Oh
man. I spent the afternoon with a couple of pastor's kids one time at Hidden Treasures Assembly in beautiful Kingsland, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And they were hungry, and they broke into a special closet that their dad had in their house, and it had communion wafers in it. And she just popped the bag open and started stuffing her face. And I was like, "I don't want to go to hell right now," you know? So, but she was so at peace with it, you know? So
is that who I think it is?
Yeah. Yeah. which of the two sisters do you think would have been the one to have been bold enough to eat without thinking about any problems, you know?
It had to have been CJ. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The younger one.
Yes.
Yeah. She's so awesome. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's funny.
She assured me there was no problems with it, but I don't know that she was the one I should have trusted. The other sister was much more pious, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And trustworthy. So good sister.
That's so
bad
funny.
Sister. So
shout out to our Kingsland folks.
Yes. Yes. It was a good youth group. It was when everybody was wearing those hoodies that only people that smoke weed wear now.
Well,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they're made out of like that knit kind of looking thing,
like potato sacks,
lots of colors. Yeah, they look like a potato sack. It was really popular in the 90s.
Yes.
Early 90s.
Yeah.
It's grunge wear type thing.
Yeah, now people, the only people I see them are people that smoke weed or wear them now. So I'm from the city, though. I'm from the city. So, yeah. Yeah, they're printed like Mexican blankets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody
said right, Emmy Lou,
in the chat room. Oh, man.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
We got a lot more show to do, so let's get into our featured stories.
Let me tell y'all a story.
All right, this is Matt, the Gen Xer from Chicago, and he says whatever to the both of you. So,
whatever. Nice. We know what you're saying, Matt. Thanks.
We don't care either.
Yeah.
My story takes place during the week of youth camp. On an island in Lake Erie.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
At this camp, campers had the opportunity to go up on a sailing type of boat called a sunfish. And it's just a small sailboat. He included a photo, but I don't know how to share a photo through a podcast. But
it looks like a boat with a sail on it.
It's just small. A small version, yeah. Anyway, two of my friends and I decided to take one of these little boats out for some sailing. During some free time we had one day, and the wind was pretty good, so we were quickly able to sail pretty far out into the lake, but then the wind just died, and we were stranded out like a mile from shore. It's like all we had was a volleyball, and we put our handprint on it and started talking to it. And
Wilson, come back!
I'm sorry,
Wilson!
We tried to turn the boat this way and that way, but we were having no luck with the wind. Then all of a sudden, a gust of wind filled the sail and swung the bottom, the lower bar of the sail, across the boat. Unfortunately, I was unprepared for this, and I was struck by the boom and knocked. I was knocked from the boat. So as I was falling from the boat, the wooden bar that connects the rudder got stuck beneath me, and it snapped in half. So... it's like they're going from more to a little bit screwed to totally screwed. So my friends in the boat had gotten a hold of the sail and they're sailing away. They're like, yeah, as I'm bobbing in the water with half a wooden stick in my hands. After about a good 30 yards, my friend finally realized that I was not in the boat and released the sail. Do you remember that scene in Jaws 2 where the boy was trying to swim back to his girlfriend on the sailboat before the shark got him? Well, that was me. As I doggy paddled furiously back to the boat, of course I was in fresh water, and the worst part would have been that maybe I could have got nibbled by a walleye. That would have freaked me out enough, dude. My wife and I went snorkeling in the Bahamas, and these beautiful tropical fish came swimming up to me, and I had a case on my phone to where I could go underwater and film, and I was really looking forward to it. And that school of fish swam around me, and you can just hear me start to scream slowly. Yeah, it is. It's like, because the little tails touched me on the legs, and that it was the scariest thing ever. I had no idea I was afraid of them until they came at me. You know, I spent money on this freaking underwater case, you know? Anyway, I got back in the boat safely
as I was able to hop back aboard when we eventually were able to make it to shore on our own without the further embarrassment of being dragged to the shore by one of the camp's speedboats. Hope this makes it on the show or not. Matt. He gets both.
Yeah.
And care.
Nice.
And care very much. I heard somebody say about Gen Xers that we're like stuck in the middle of two generations because we know how to use technology like millennials.
Right.
But we curse at it and struggle with it and hate it like boomers. Yeah. So
nice. Yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
We're the best of both worlds. Thank you very much.
It's like I got told recently that I text too sternly.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's because I'm using grammar. Like I actually speak into my phone to send a text. Yeah.
And you use commas and punctuation and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
I wouldn't know how to do it shorthand if I tried. I mean, I know some stuff like BRB means be right back or IDK. I don't know. LOL. Obviously, you know, stuff like that. But most of the time I'm just talking and using periods and they're like, why do you sound so angry? So I try to use emojis to kind of soften things up. But then I think I come off as crazy because I'm using the sideways, teary eyed, smiley guy.
Oh yeah. And those things mean things that we don't know anything
exactly.
about.
Exactly. So I'm afraid. I'm afraid to communicate with my teenagers at all at this point. So.
Well, you know, you could just take away their phones and make them communicate with you.
Idea would be just take away dad's phone.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's going to happen.
Make him communicate with us. But no, anyway, they don't know what we used to have to go through. Of course, I don't call them emojis either. I call them emoticons still.
Emoticons, right.
Yeah.
That's a colon hashtag. I mean, colon.
Yeah, well, you have to look at it sideways. So.
Yeah. Good old days.
Yeah.
See, we invented emojis.
Yes.
By the way.
Yes, we did.
For the win. Hey, I got a great story here from Abigail.
All right.
Shall I read it?
Yes.
It's the death buzz.
Death buzz.
Death buzz. Yeah.
All right. Let's hear it.
I feel like I should use a creepy voice for this, but I won't.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was the last day of a weekend church retreat. I was having a Bible study with the other girls in my cabin just before we got on the bus to drive home. During the study, one of the leaders brought up the subject of the fleeting nature of life. None of us really knows when we're going to die, she said. You could die 70 years from now, or you could die tomorrow.
I remember this one when I put it in. It's so, there's always that one youth leader.
Yeah.
That takes everything way too seriously and just wants to scare Jesus into the kids.
Right.
Like, you're way too happy. I have got to do something about that right now.
I want to lead you into a loving relationship with the Lord
through fear
and fire.
Hellfire.
Yeah, that's this apparently was the same leader. She said, you could die 70 years from now or you could die tomorrow. The bus could crash on the way home, she added. This last comment was met with an uncomfortable silence, followed by nervous giggles.
Yeah.
The Bible study. Yeah, right? The Bible study continued, but I had a mental image of our untimely and violent demise hovering in the back of my mind. I knew that it had always been a possibility, but now that it had been said out loud, I felt like we had been jinxed.
Yeah, and it'll make a saved kid doubt his salvation. You feel secure, like, I'm going to heaven when I die, and then somebody will come along and say something like that, and you're like, but are you sure? You know?
Yeah. It's and like, I was just enough of an introvert that I always questioned, well, maybe I'm not really. Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe I don't really love God. I don't know.
I don't know what their point was, but it was enough to scare the devil into you. You know, I don't know. I don't know what their point was, but yeah.
Oh, this is a very religious episode we've got today.
I know. I know. It's unintentional, but you know, that's just the Holy Spirit. That's the way these things work. Me and the worship leader, we didn't even compare notes, but it's just like everything is lined up. It's
here it is.
Beautiful.
Well, God works in mysterious ways, but that's not the end of the story.
Okay.
Because Abigail was in fear of her life.
She says,
we did, however, we did make it home safely.
Hallelujah.
Back from the retreat center. As the bus pulled into the church parking lot, one of the girls from my cabin loudly exclaimed, we didn't die. Yeah. A few more of my cabin mates cheered as well. It felt good to be on the inside of that joke.
Yeah.
Knowing that no one else on the bus knew why we were so happy to be alive. I hope you enjoyed the story, Abigail.
Man. Okay. So we had a person like that in our youth group when I worked with David in Kansas City, and we were on a trip to Mexico and we were coming back. And one of the lady I'm talking about was older and she was tired. She was so tired from a week of Mexico outreach. And yeah. The kids were unwinding and they had had a nap and they were singing along with this song, Get Up Off of That Thing. Shake till you feel better. And she had had enough. The kids were having too much fun and she jumped up and she shut off the machine and she grabbed the microphone that spoke to the entire bus. Do you know what that thing is? Do you? You know what he's talking about?
Oh, no.
I'm like, I think everybody does, you know, but to her, she just flew back 50 years in the past. And, you know, when that was just the edge of morality right there. And like nobody had the guts to turn her off or tell her to sit down because she's, you know, an older lady in the church. But that was her.
I gotta respect her.
That was her last trip with us. You know, she told me one time, she just leaned over after she had yelled at everybody. She says, I'm just too old for this. I can't handle it. She knew she had gone too far out of her way. But yeah, man, there's always one person in the youth group that wants to scare. I think it was everybody, honestly, in the 80s. Because did you ever watch those movies?
Yes, A Thief in the Night.
Yes, it was about the end times and taking the mark and people getting beheaded and all this stuff. It was like
a distant thunder.
Let's scare the devil out of everybody. And then backward masking, you know, all right. The music you think it's bad forward. Listen to it backwards. It's got satanic messages in it. And yeah, my mom had me watch specials and read books on it. I didn't even know who any of these musicians were. You know, I had never listened to music anyway, good or bad, you know, quote unquote. So, I don't know. I got exposed to a lot of the devil stuff and I didn't even know why.
Just by being in church, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm a good kid. I know.
They tried, you know. Yeah. And I got to say, I'm guilty of some of that stuff too. When I was a youth pastor, I played the emotionalism card occasionally. And
you guys got to get your lives right tonight. This could be the last time you're alive. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
And it's important. It scares a time and place, but not every
week. Yeah, not every week. No. This is from Hannah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. Whatever works, you know, what the famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Have you ever read that sermon?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It is. People heard that sermon and they would scrape their feet on the ground, feeling like they were going to slip off their pew into the fires of hell when the guy would.
Yeah. Preach.
So anyway, this is from Hannah. Hi, James and John. My story takes place when I was around 5 or 6 and we went on vacation to the Bahamas. My dad told me to go look in the windows of the hotel because it had a nice beach outside. So I was sitting on my knees on the couch with my favorite pink flip-flops and sun hat looking out the window as my dad was checking in when all of a sudden I felt a cold hand grab me from behind. Mia, it's time to go, the person who grabbed me said. And he tugged me out of the seat, not looking at me, and I screeched. And I tried to run away. My name wasn't Mia. It was Hannah. And and he was old and grumpy and he pulled me by the hands until he finally looked back at me and he said, oops, sorry. I thought you were my granddaughter. She has on the same shoes and hat as you. I said nothing. And I ran to my dad clutching his leg How could you mistake me for someone else just because I had the same shoes and hats on? That's because all little white girls look the same, okay? you all look the same. If you doubt me at all, go to a basketball game with all white girls and try to tell them apart on the court. I don't care
if they all have a ponytail.
Yes, thank you. They all have the same makeup. They got the same shape. Everything about them is the same. They're all the same height. I mean, from a distance, all white girls look the same. Advice for anyone that wants to tell their child they might have to go and pull them by the hand. Look at the child before you grab them. You don't want to be a kidnapper, do you? I rest my case, Hannah. Yeah. Well, I've told y'all I'm careful, not with my kids, but with my wife, because she is a shorty person. She is a shortly person. And ever since we started dating, I have had to be super careful when I go up, grab her hand or put my arm around her or anything like that, because she is the same size and shape as the average 12-year-old girl.
Yes. Oh, man.
And, I
can't remember if I told the story or not, but I went to the movies once with my brother-in-law many years ago, and the movie had started, and he got up to go get some popcorn. And I see him come in, and he walks right past me, and then he sits down like two rows ahead of me, and he's eating the popcorn, sitting next to a young girl, eating the popcorn, and then he puts his arm around her because he thought it was his wife. And I'm there watching him, and he jerks back real fast. He says, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And then he comes back. It turns out that it was just a girl there with her dad.
Oh, no.
The guy's like, excuse me?
Oh, I would die. I would shrivel up into a raisin, roll out in the sidewalk, and get run over by a Humvee. That's the only way to fix that.
Oh, man. It was a great story. And it was even more funny to observe and to see.
So he was wrong. He was supposed to sit next to a dude.
Yeah.
Well, totally forgot everything about his life. He just totally reset his brain when he got that popcorn.
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, the theater was pretty dark, and I don't know.
Forget all of that.
he's leaning over trying to offer popcorn to the stranger.
it's time.
There you go.
It's time for a brain scan of some kind. You know.
Yeah.
Time to get in that magnet machine. What do they call it?
The CRT MRI.
Scan. Yeah, scan. Something like that. Yeah.
MRI.
Magnetic resonance imaging.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a nerd.
Hey, this next story I'm very excited to read. It's about a missionary.
Oh.
A message. Let's call this story, because it doesn't have a title. It's a missionary's message.
Okay.
Yeah, let's call it that. It comes to us from Mike Alex.
He's got two first names.
Yeah, Mike Alex. Well, hello. He says, "Hey, James and John."
Oh, hello.
"I'm a pastor in Central Maine. On a side note, I'm Wayne Harmon's pastor." Hey, Wayne, what's up, man? Who I guess John, which is me, worked with for a time in Maine, and he's the one that got me hooked on to that story show. So, yay. First of all, Wayne, thank you for getting your pastor hooked on to the show.
Yay!
And Mike, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Well, this is a great story, and I've been debating at sharing this story, as it probably is a sign that I shouldn't be a pastor, because I find it to be a fond and funny memory.
We love those kind of fond and funny memories.
Yes. Let me just say, if I ever go to Maine, Mike, I want to come visit your church and check it out, because you're my kind of person. So anyways, here's the story. While I was attending seminary on the North Shore of Massachusetts about 14 years ago, I began attending a small discipleship group with some fellow seminarians called GRID. It's an acronym for Growing Relationships and Discipleship.
Because you have to have an acronym if it's going to be a ministry. It's got to stand for something. It can't just be called Cool Peoples, you know.
Yeah something. You know, you gotta fit a whole sentence worth of what your ministry is about in one word.
Yeah,
so that's, you turn it into an acronym, which is, you know, it's pretty witty if you ask me. Yeah, GRID.
Yeah, it could stand for God's Righteousness is Doggone Awesome.
No, so. That'd be GRIDA.
grid. I was mixing it in. So grid, yeah, you're right. My bad.
It works. Doggone is one word. And yeah. Anyways, during my first year at the seminary and in the group, a missionary couple and their teenage daughter were attending while on furlough. So Mr. Missionary could complete his theology mission. Well, THM, that's a master's of theology, right?
Yeah.
He'd complete his master's. After a few weeks in, I was beginning to feel more comfortable and truly enjoyed the fellowship and growing relationships. But nothing would prepare me for this one night. As we were gathered in a small living room in married couples on campus housing. Boy, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
An event occurred. An event, James. There were eight of us in there. The leader and his wife, the missionary couple and their daughter, myself, and a few others. I was sitting on a couch where I could see most everyone, and the missionary couple was approximately 8 feet away from me. He was sitting in a chair, the daughter was sitting on the floor on one side of him, and his wife was on the other side of him. As we were listening to the leader share his study, I look over to see and hear a stunning sight and sound. I look at the missionary's wife, and she begins to lean to one side and release an audible movement of gas. I love that quote. I'm going to put that on a bumper sticker or something. She released an audible movement of gas. I couldn't believe it. I looked around the room to try and make eye contact with anyone I could to see if I was alone and experiencing this. No one would make eye contact with me. I was all alone, not knowing if I should laugh or pretend to be disgusted or what. The leader's wife just stared at the ground. I wanted to burst out laughing, but I had to keep it in, which was difficult.
Mike, you have more moral fiber and integrity than my friend John does. Because John, this would have been a different story if you'd been telling it.
It's true. So, Mike, you are more right in the ministry than I am, apparently. Because if you could hold it in and not, you know,
she
bust
couldn't.
Out laughing.
She couldn't. She even leaned over, dude.
She did.
She separated the passage. She opened the passageway. She separated.
She leaned up.
She imparted the Red Sea.
She released an audible movement of gas.
Yeah.
And without any recourse.
No, just like Stone it was a cold. Normal thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody leans over and farts during Bible study. Don't you know that? Well, no one publicly acknowledged what happened.
Mm.
The evening ended and I hung back to chat for a little longer and most of the group left, including the missionary family. Come to find out, the leader and his wife refused to make eye contact with me because they knew that they would die from laughter.
Oh.
So I knew I wasn't alone. I was not the only one who found this bewildering and hilarious. Thanks for reading. I hope this doesn't make it on the show because that means you have resorted to religious fart stories to draw an audience.
Yeah.
I love what you guys are doing. Keep it up.
Mike.
Thanks, Mike. That was excellent.
Oh,
How do you do that?
Call me old fashioned. Call me sexist if you want to, but women don't fart. They're not supposed to, Ted Cummett.
And
they're especially not supposed to lean into it. I worry about myself because I spend a lot of time alone. And so when I need to burp, I burp. When I need to fart, I fart. I don't think about it. And then my family comes home or people come over and I'm afraid I've lost, you know, it'd be like spending time alone on an island. What kind of habits would you let go of and niceties, you would probably forget how to use forks and knives properly and stuff like that and plates and cups and common manners. And I just worry about myself that I'm not socialized anymore, you know? So, I mean, what country had they been in where what country accepts passing gas? There's gotta be a country.
Maybe it's like a compliment. You know, this is a great Bible study.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, like, for instance, in Japan, I know for a fact that it's considered rude to blow your nose in public. So there's a lady I watch on YouTube. And so what she says is what men and women will do is snort like that like crazy to keep all their sinus fluids inside their head, which ends up in her mind being grosser than if they just politely blow their nose. So, you know, different countries have different standards. So what country were they in where people could just fart away with no?
Tell us, Mike. We must know.
John needs to go on vacation there and possibly retire there. And we can we can still do the show over Discord as long as they got good internet. So
yeah, I don't know. We might get extra sound bites from that.
I don't know. We got a voicemail. It's from Jennifer. It's called Number Numbskull, and I'll let her tell it.
Hey, James and John. This is Jenny from Gloucester, Massachusetts, and I have a story. I work at a place that has two locations. One of them is the store, and the other is production. When I first started working there, I was in the store, and now I do embroidery at the other place. But every now and then I have to fill in at the store because somebody's sick or whatever, something happens. One day a couple years ago, maybe a few years ago, I was doing that and I had to call a customer about something, maybe get payment from them. And so I told my boss, hang on, I gotta call this customer. So I dial a number, and after I dialed, the phone started ringing. Now we have multiple phone lines at this place. So I was like, hey, can one of you guys get that? Because I'm like waiting for the customer to pick up. And then moments later, I hear the line pick up. And on the other end is my manager. I had called the store as I was standing there in the store. So that was quite embarrassing. But
I'm good at my job.
That was one of my more harebrained moments at work. Yeah. And maybe that's why I'm stuck in production now, but I don't mind.
Yeah, she calls it production, but she takes out the trash now. That's her new job. She's being
manager
productive.
Is like, she's trying to skirt this. She doesn't want to talk to me. She's faking a call to a fake customer.
Hey, do you mind, paying this customer's bill? I don't want to actually call them. Oh, that reminds me, man. One time I had moved from St. Mary's to Macon, Georgia, and I couldn't find a job, so I was temping. And I got the benefit of temping at a mobile phone dealership. And my job was to check the credit of people that wanted to get a phone. And then also when I wasn't doing that, the fun job that they just kind of skidded over, didn't even tell me much about it, is I was supposed to call people and give them a friendly reminder that their bill was past due.
They skirted that one fast, didn't they?
Yeah, they made it. And I really believed it. I thought I was going to be like greeted with open arms by every caller that, you know, that they would pick it up and they'd be, oh, thank you so much for letting me know.
Appreciate the reminder.
But instead, it was like beepity, 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 beep. Cuss word. I'm going to pay it. I know it's late. Blah, blah, blah. And man, it took only three calls for me to start noticing a pattern. That was how slow I was back then and how much faith I still had in humanity. Maybe the next one will be better and I won't cry as much after I hang up. So
I'm a terrible person for reminding people they owe money.
Oh my gosh. I realized I was a collections agent. I had been tricked. So it was the worst. It was the worst. Man. And I'm telling you, I'm the guy that hated going to hospitals, and people love having a pastor come visit them at hospitals. You know, I hated funerals, and people love having pastors at funerals. It makes them feel like, you know, that people cared about, you know, their loved ones and all that. And I hate it because I was nervous, you know. So imagine how bad I was on these phone calls, you know, where I know they're going to get ticked off before I even dial a number. It was terrible. So I don't blame Jennifer for not wanting to make that call. That's all I'm saying.
Totally. And thanks for sending that in, Jennifer. That was awesome.
Yeah. We like voicemails, so feel free.
We haven't had one of those in a long time.
Yeah, all you got to do is record them on your phone. Every phone has a voice record app, and if you don't, you can download them in your app store. And then most of them have a share function, and you just email it to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. and we get them and we can play them. So if you don't feel like writing it down, just tell us. Just keep it to 3 minutes or less, and that's the magic number. So there we go.
Magic. Awesome.
What you got?
Well, I've got a story to us from a busted, I mean, from, sorry, from TJ. From Busted Burner. It comes to us from TJ. Here we go. He says, just got into the podcast today, November 24th, 2020. Whoa. Welcome.
Yeah,
this one's been sitting in the
ether. It's been sitting in the inbox for a while, yeah.
Sorry about that, TJ. He says, I'm one of those crazy people who listen to your podcast backwards.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. That's hard. You probably get a lot of hidden satanic messages from listening to things backwards. Sorry. One thing I don't get is the whole hope this gets on the show thing. There you go. There you go. And just for the record, I'm not a middle schooler. I'm a college kid.
Okay. Dang.
Anyway, here's my story. I'm finishing up sixth grade. I was asked to babysit my little four-year-old brother. I don't know where my sister and parents were at the time, but I was a new Boy Scout, and I had just learned about all kinds of things outdoors, including fire.
Oh.
It's true that I told everyone I did it because I was mad at my best friend at the time, but really, the reason why I lit the lighter was really simple. I wanted to see what would happen.
Yeah, I think every young man goes through a pyro phase.
Yeah, I think so.
I did.
I sure did too, and got really in trouble for it.
Yeah, I burned a lot of hair off my hands and arms, that's for sure.
I burned a lot of hair off my cousins. It was an accident.
The official stance of that story show is do not play with fire, by the way.
Mm, absolutely.
Very we dangerous. Do not
condone the playing with of fire. It should always be done in a controlled area.
The chat room wants to know is if that's what's happened to your hair since you're bald.
Maybe. No, it's genetics. I'm afraid it's yeah. Of course it would burn, I say. That's what happens when you touch a flame to a piece of coffee filter paper.
Oh, yeah.
Ah. I was cooking with olive oil. I can't remember what I was making, only that I had oil all over my hands.
Dangerous.
I'm in my bedroom that I shared with my little brother.
Cooking?
I touched the paper. Yeah. I don't know why he's in the bedroom. That's crazy. I touched the paper with my hands that were covered in oil. The coffee filter paper became slick in oil. I lit the lighter and touched it to the opposite side of the paper from my fingers. I expected a slow burn. Instead, the paper became a flame. It burned my fingers, so I flung it away.
Oh.
It floated and landed on the carpet.
Great.
The paper was now gone. Now my house was going to catch on fire. I ran to the adjacent bathroom and grabbed the only thing that could carry water and project it onto the flames. It was my mother's organic cleaning solution. I snatched it off the counter and ran to my room. I doused the flame, which had grown to about 8 inches high. Mm. The piece of burning carpet was the size of a smartphone.
I stopped to check just to make sure. Yeah.
Yes, I measured it, in fact. The flames were indeed 8 inches. I grabbed a tape measure. I doused the flames and gasped a sigh of relief. Only my brother was right behind me, aghast.
Mm.
I begged him not to tell my parents. Mm. But what do little brothers do except betray their siblings?
Yeah.
He told my parents everything. My parents were silent. I expected to be yelled at. It was 2 days before they finally handed down my sentence.
Oh.
They were some of the most stressful days of my life.
Yeah.
And my sentence was this. I filled a notebook with 5 phrases. Each getting 20 whole pages for a total of 100 pages.
Goodness gracious.
While I was doing that, I was grounded. Until that was done, I was grounded. I was grounded for over a month.
Over a month.
I hope this makes you laugh, and I guess I hope it makes it on the show.
Oh, yeah. Even though you don't understand why.
You don't know. TJ. You did it, TJ. Congratulations.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Fire. Not good. Not good at all. My brothers, were terrors when they were little. And, one time they grabbed the, you know, those extended lighters, you know?
Yes.
The clicky lighters with the wand. The wand lighter, I think, is what it's
called.
Yeah,
yeah. So you could light the candle way down at the bottom of the glass jar.
Yeah. Or deep into a fireplace, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
They took one of those and some candles, some birthday candles they found in the junk drawer, and they locked themselves in my sister's room and went in their closet with all these dresses hanging down.
Oh, no.
And they sat down there and they lit candles. And I literally, when I was pastoring at Sheffield, we had a whole family that died. Like their kids were doing this very thing in a closet. And they caught the whole house on fire. And so, I don't know. Playing with fire is not fun. It's not a good idea.
Smart either.
No. So, you know, just a warning to all the idiot boys out there, because we're all idiots. That's why I can say that is don't be an idiot with fire. So, yeah. Oh, man. Although, when I was a Boy Scout.
Oh, no.
We had a tank of gas, and our patrol leader put a circle of gas around the fire, and somehow a little spark lit it up, and whoosh, the whole circle goes up, and then it trails up to where he was pouring, up into the gas canister, and he slings it around like he's trying to jerk it away from the fire.
What?
And the fire just splatters all over the front yard, and he throws down the can. And we run away because we're expecting it to boom, explode, you know, like on TV.
Explosion!
And the gas is just pumping out. Boom, 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 boom. And the fire is just going. And finally, somebody with a stick goes up and pushes the thing upright and puts the lid on it, puts out the fire, saves the day. And all of us should have been kicked out of Boy Scouts, man. We should have
especially
had
the scout leader.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a patrol leader, not a scout leader.
Oh,
so he was our age. He was our age.
He was, yeah.
And he was stupid. So.
But who told him to use gas?
I don't know. It's just the stupid boy thing. That's what I'm saying. Boys are idiots. We need to be watched constantly. Yeah. Let that be a warning. I'm just telling you everything right now. Well, guys, that is it for today. That is all we got time for. We sure do love the stories, and we need them. I was reaching deep into the inbox this week to try to find some stories. So if you've been waiting and you think, I don't know if my story will make it on, even if I send it in. Well, it will. So this is your opportunity. This is your invitation. Whatever your story is, send your stories, email or audio to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Review the show at review.nlcast.com. Thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today, mainly more stories, at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, did that lady really lean over and just fart in the middle of Bible study? And think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, chat room. You guys are awesome. Thanks to our patrons. And, that pretty much wraps it up right there.
Well.
Don't play with fire, kids.
Don't. It's dumb.
It's very
and
dumb.
Dangerous.
Very dumb.
Yeah. So we say anything serious in this whole show.
Yeah.
Don't play with fire.
So. Anyway. also, Don't fart in the middle of Bible study.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah. Let's find out what country they're from.
Yeah.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites,
according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.